On daf Beis Amid Beis, and we're up to the almost the end of the daf. You'll see if you count up four lines from the bottom of the daf. We had Meisvei Ein Masi and Masos. You remember this? And there we proved that the word R means Urta. Because the Brisa says, Amasai Masiyah Masosli Ar Iburo, which means the night going into the 31st. And the word Ar here clearly means Lila. Mesve. So now we're two lines before the end of Beis Amid Beis. Hoya Ome Kol Alayla Umakriv Alamizbeach. Now we know that the Beis HaMikdash is open for business during the day. Very little goes on during the nighttime. But what does go on during the nighttime is called Hekter Chalavim Veivarim. That there are certain innards in the kishkis of the animal that was brought on the Mizbeach that has to be burnt on the Mizbeach overnight. Now there's a halacha called Kiddush Yadayim for Aglaim, meaning that every day in the Beis HaMikdash for the Kohanim is a new day. And what does it mean to say it's a new day? The fact that the Kohen did Kiddush Yadayim for Aglaim and he dipped his hands and his feet into the kiyar, into the laver, I think it's called in English, whatever it's called, that's good for that day, but it's not going to do good for the next day. The next day he needs a brand new Kiddush Yadayim for Aglaim. The chiddush of our brisa is that even though he works continuously, he never actually took a break. You know, if you're familiar with the phrase, he did a mishmar is when you stay up the whole night. So the case is, so the Kohen started his avoda yesterday, and he never discontinued his avoda, he's continuing his avoda today. And the brisa establishes that le'ora, which presumably means with the daybreak, Tohun Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that he needs a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim with daybreak. Yesterday's Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is not sufficient, even though again he's working continuously. He didn't take any break. But the answer is, this is called Linas Laila Poselis, okay, or Shehias Laila Poselis. I'll write that on the board, so that in case you want to write this down, I'm not sure if I can't find the... Oh, this will be good enough. So this is called Shehias Laila Poselis. Okay, that means that the Kohen is going to require a brand new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim with daybreak. And it means that Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is not something that continues endlessly, meaning as long as there's no Hesek Hadas. Right? Hesek Hadas means as long as he's... If there's no Hesek Hadas, it means he's still focused on what he's doing. If there is Hesek Hadas, it means he got distracted. Should we write that on the board too? Hesek Hadas, just to make sure. Hesek Hadas. Right? So Hesek Hadas means when you're distracted and you get sidetracked on something, your mind is not... Das means your mind is not singularly focused, but rather Hesek Hadas, you know, you... Let's say, for example, a classical case of Hesek Hadas would be if a person, let's say, makes a bracha on his talis katan in the morning. I don't know if any of you do that. Some people do. I don't, but some people do. And then he goes ahead and then he takes a tea and he takes a coffee and he goes for a spatzir around the block and then he goes to the shul and he puts on his talis gadol. So that might be a kind of a hesek hadas. Or, for example...
Why?
Because he's distracted. He's no longer thinking about that the bracha should be on his talis gadol. You follow? So he made his bracha an hour ago. In the meantime, he had a hesek hadas. He was thinking about let's say, for example, in Bedikas Chametz, let's say you have two houses, right? So the question is, when you finish the Bedikah for the first house, where is your brain at that point? Are you thinking about the next house, meaning, or are you thinking about, you know, having supper with your wife? That if you're having supper with your wife and then you're going to continue your Bedikah in the second house, that's called a Hesek Hadas, meaning you're distracted. For example, we have an issue with regard to going to the bathroom. Let's say, for example, you take your talus off, you go into the bathroom, you put it on afterwards. Is that called a Hesek Hadas? Mm. Here, in this case, we're talking about a case where there was no Hesek Hadas. So Pashtus, if the Kiddush Yadayim Rak Lahem would continue unabated without a Hesek Hadas, there's no need for another Kiddush Yadayim Rak Lahem. And that was the Havamim. That's what we would have thought if not for Rebbe. Rebbe's teaching us here that there's something called Shehias Laila Poselis, which means that the night itself creates a new, you know, there's no transition between night and day. The night itself terminates the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim of the previous day. So the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim was done this morning, let's say. And the night itself, by definition, terminates the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, so that tomorrow morning, even if there was no Hesek Hadas, he was continuously focused on his Avodah, because during the course of the night he was burning the Chalav and the Yevarim on the Mizbech. Nevertheless, he needs a new Kiddush. But it's clear that the word Ora here means Boker, means daybreak. And this contradicts everything we've been saying until now. You know, we've been working overtime to prove that the word Or means Laila. Here it means Yom. So the Gemara answers Ora Shiny. Very sensitive, subtle difference between Or without a hay at the end and Ora with a hay at the end. If there's a hay at the end, then we're referring to day. If there's no hay, it's Or without a hay, then it's referring to night. So all the proofs that we had until now were based on the fact that the Brisa used the term R, and it was used to mean Laila, right? For example, the previous Brisa that we had yesterday about Masi and Masos, it says, Emasai Masi and Masos li R Iburo. So the word is R, and R means night. Or, for example, if you go back to, where was the Brisa? Just give me a second here. Yeah, the Brisa of Bedikas Chametz, which is about halfway up the Omud, and there it says, Me'emasai Arbosar, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yudomer, Bodkim Orli Arbosar. And the Gemara says that Orli Arbosar must mean the night of the 14th, because in the next sentence, Rabbi Yudomer says, Barbosar Shachris. Which means that if he didn't do the Bedikah at night, then he has to do the Bedikah in the morning. But notice that the word is R. So we've proven over and over again, I believe that, check me out on this, there are three proofs that we had that R means Laila.
The answer that Yaakov says it means day.
Right, so that the Gemara already, you want to go over the shlug up of that Gemara. The Gemara says that sometimes the word R could mean literally, right, physically R means light. But when it doesn't mean physically light and it's either day or night, it means night. But if you add the hay at the end, then once again it means day. So again, there are three interpretations of the word R. Okay? And a fourth interpretation is when you add the hay at the end of the word R. So let's go through them. One interpretation of R means light. Okay? But if we know from the pasuk, from the context, that the word R doesn't mean light, it means either day or night. So then we get to the second interpretation. The second interpretation is going to be that the word R means Laila. And the only time that you can interpret R as being day is if we take the word R symbolically. For example, in Eov, we said that if somebody breaks into your house, I don't know if you were here, Don, for this, about the burglar. Were you here about the burglar? I think that was on Sunday. So we spoke about a burglar, and the question is whether you're allowed to kill the burglar. And there, the word R means clarity. So the word R has symbolic meaning. Let's just read the pasuk. What did the pasuk say here? It's on the bottom of Beis Amin Aleph. It says, La'ar Yakum Rotzeach. Do you remember that? R. So there, the word R means clarity. Okay, so or can mean one of three things. It can mean light, and that's the brisa of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yaakov, right? That in daybreak, meaning light, is light from the Amura Shachar. Number two, if it means either day or night, then it means Lila. We have three proofs for that. And the third possibility, which was the Pasuk in Eov, is that the word R means clarity. Now you add a hey to the word R, and then it means day. That's what we have so far. And now we're up to Masiv Marzutra.
These were in Mishnaic.
Correct. So well, biblical and Mishnah, yeah. Meaning
not biblical Hebrew.
Well, yeah, and the word "R" in the Bible, right? Job is part of the Bible. Yeah. Means clarity.
Yes, but also doesn't mean light. Y-E-R.
So yeah, no, I'm saying all these four interpretations could refer to both. In other words, when I give you the whole picture, the four possibilities that we're encompassing both biblical Hebrew and Mishnaic Hebrew or Tanoic Hebrew.
So there's four interpretations, not three.
I meant to say three plus the hey, which means four. Now, Rabosa, we get to Masiv Marzutra. Okay. And here, Rabosa, we need a little bit of a lengthy introduction. There's a lot of ideas that we have to have. So Don, you're going to be my point man. You'll tell me when I have to chart this out on the board, or when you'll be able to just write it down in your notes. There's a lot of information I'm going to hit you with now. A lot of information to appreciate the next piece of Gemara, which starts on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. But we're not up to Gimel Amud Aleph, so leaving Gemara open to that base Amud Beis. All right. Point number one. We're talking about a Yoledes. A Yoledes is a woman after childbirth. Yoledes. So Don, if I go like this, you'll tell me yes or no. Yoledes.
Fine.
Okay. So you'll tell me if you need me to write it on the board. Yoledes. Okay. Now number two, we're talking about a parsha in the Torah about Yoledes, the subject of which is Yoledes, in Vayikra Perek Yud Beis, the 12th Perek of Vayikra. Okay. Now, the Torah addresses the following question. A woman after birth sees dam. And the question is whether that dam is dam nida, it's dam tameh, or what's called dam tar. Because some of that blood is a result of the birth process, and it's not, you know, a part of a regular cycle of nidus. Okay. So that's point number two. Now we get to point number three. This is where you have to really concentrate. The Torah makes a distinction here in counting the days between the birth of a boy and the birth of a girl. Okay, so let's get it now straight. In the case... Now again, you know, this is not prejudice in favor of a male or a female, because you'll see it goes in both directions. It goes l'kula and l'chumra, meaning we're going to have a chumra if she gave birth to a girl, but we're also going to have a great kula if she gave to birth. Let's explain. So one by one, if she gave birth to a boy, then for the first 7 days, all post birth, all her dam is called dam tameh. That means that she's a nida, she can't have relations with her husband, and if they have relations, that's a violation of an isa kares, a very severe isa. That's for the first 7 days. Then we get to what's called dam tar. And that goes on for 33 days. So if you go from day zero, the day of her birth, that she gave birth, to a boy, and you count 40 days, then the first 7 days are blackout days. So those are nida days. Mm-hmm. The next 33 days, taking you from day 8 till day 40, are tahar days. She could see dam like it's coming out of her gazoo. It doesn't matter. It's all tahar. The Torah says that dam is tahar. Period. We can't ask questions about that. That's in the case of a boy. Now, when daybreak of day 41 comes, she has to bring what's called a carbon yoledes. Now, carbon yoledes itself is very complicated. It's made up of many different parts. And that's on day 41. Now she gave birth, instead of a boy, to a girl. If she gave birth to a girl, we're going to be machmir, and we're going to say that the first 14 days after birth, her dam is dam nida. That's the bad news. The good news is that from day 14 and on, all the way up to day 80, which means 66 days, up to day 81, all her dam is tar. So again, you know, you can't say we're being, you know, being favoritism towards the boy or towards the girl one way or the other, because basically what you're doing is, on the one end, you double, in the case of a girl, you're doubling the days of Dam Tame, but you're also doubling the days of Dam Tov. It's like a trade-off.
She had twins, boy and a girl.
Oh, so if she has twins, then you have to take the chumra of both. In other words, you can't disqualify the fact that she had a girl, and therefore we're going to have to extend the days of Tumah for 14 days. You can't disqualify the fact that she had a boy, and therefore her Dam Torah will end after day 40. So now, in the case of a girl, going into the 81st day, in other words, with daybreak on the 81st day, she has to bring a carbon yoledes. Now again, exactly what a carbon yoledes is, you'll have to check out in Vayikra Yud Beis, but let's just say it's a combination of an ola and a chatas. And you have to know, I spent a lot of time in this when we learned Zvachim, you have to know what happens if she only brought the ola and she didn't bring the chatas, or she changed the order and she brought the chatas first and the ola second. You know, for that you have to learn Masechta Yoledes. It's a whole Masechta. Okay. Now, we're up to the next major point. Okay. What happens if during the days of Tohar, let's take the case of a girl, right? So we said there are 66 days of Tohar. Let's say if during that 66 day period she had a chance to become pregnant again and she gave birth to a miscarriage. Okay, a miscarriage is called a mapelis. Okay, I'll write that on the board. That's for sure. Okay, I'm a pelis. In modern Hebrew, this is called hapala, an abortion. But we're talking not about an abortion, we're talking about a woman who never gave birth to a... had a miscarriage. Yeah, I'm sorry, there's so much on the board here. This word here, see? Pelis. Okay? Okay. Now, the laws as follows. That I'm going to make it simple for us. It's much more complicated than this, but every hapala, like every leda, requires a karban. But in this case, her obligation to bring a karban only emerges on day 81, as far as the first person is concerned. So now when she has a miscarriage, she can kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. All she has to bring is one carbon yoledes, and that one single carbon yoledes counts for both the normal labor that she had and the miscarriage. Okay. Now, what happens if she has the miscarriage on day 81? That's the complicated case. Because her obligation to bring the carbon for the first labor has already emerged on day 81, and therefore she's going to have to, if she has a miscarriage on day 81, she cannot link up, you know, she cannot connect that chiyuv karbon to the old chiyuv karbon. Why? Because you can only combine them if the chiyuv karbon befall, that is the actual moment in which she's obligated to bring the karbon, has not yet come about. So if she would have given birth on the 80th day, and her chiyuv karbon only emerges on the 81st day, then she can bring one karbon, and she'll only be allowed to bring one karbon, because it's all considered like one birth, so to speak. Because adayin lo igia shas havas hakarbon until the 81st day. If, on the other hand, she gave birth, she had this miscarriage on the 81st day, then she's going to have to bring a second set of ola and chatos, of a karbon yoledes. And now we get to the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. So for that, we turn to Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. And if you didn't follow me until now, don't get nervous, because as we go through the Braisa, I'm going to be reviewing everything that we said. The Braisa addresses the following scenario, which turns out to be Machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. Hamapeles or Lishmonim V'Echad. Here's that word or again, that we had four different interpretations of the word or. In this context, the word R means Lila. And this is going to be another proof. I think this could be proof number four, that in the Tanaic literature, the word R means Lila. So watch what happens. She gave birth to this stillborn, you know, to this Hapala, on the night between day 80 and the daybreak of day 81. What's the status of that night? Now, let me ask you a question. Can a woman bring a carbon, a man bring, can anybody bring a carbon at night?
No.
No, the Beis HaMikdash is closed for business at night. We had Hekter Chalav Veivarim, but there's no carbon that's brought during the nighttime. Is Memela, there's a very ambiguous case over here, because on the one hand, she has completed the counting of all 80 days. She's already in the night after the 80th day, going into the 81st day. So from that perspective, you can certainly say that this second Leda is a Leda unto itself, and it generates its own independent Chiyuv Karba. But the paradox here is that she really has not yet been obligated, or shall I say it the other way around, the obligation incumbent upon her to bring the Karba has not yet emerged, because that obligation will only emerge with daybreak. So that night period, that 12-hour period between day 80, right, between the end of day 80 and the morning of day 81, that 12-hour transition period is a twilight zone. It's a very complicated period, because if you're talking about bringing the carbon, well, she's not going to bring the carbon until the next day, so in that sense, the chiyuv carbon hasn't emerged yet. But on the other hand, she's already completed her counting of the 80 days. And now the issue is, can one carbon, meaning one set of carbons, count for both? Give me just a minute to get my head wrapped around this. So Beit Shammai potrim mi karbon means Beit Shammai says that one karbon, again, when I say one karbon, I mean one set of karbonos, is sufficient and will kill two birds with one stone, because since the Lila, the nighttime, is not yet the time for karbon, then we would say adayin lo higia zmana karbon. The time for the karbon has not yet emerged, and therefore it's all included under one leda. So again, Beit Shammai Shita is that we can integrate the second hapala, in this case the miscarriage, with the first leda, as if they all took place within the same period of time, because by virtue of the first leda, she has not yet entered into the time of chiyuv, because although she's finished her counting, but nevertheless she's not chayiv in the carbon, because there is no carbon at night. And Beis Hillel machayiv, and Beis Hillel say no. She's already completed the counting of her 80 days. And let's read the pasuk there in Vayikra Yudbeis. It says the following: Ubimalos yemei tara lebeino lebas. Whenever the days of tahara have been completed, which means in the case of a ben, after the 40 days have passed, and the extra 33 days, or in the case of a bas, at the end of the 8 piece, then it says, Tavi keves men shnos liol, she brings the ola. Now, what does the Torah mean when it says, Ublos yimei tara? She can't bring the carbon of Ublos yimei tara, so how can it say, Tavi keves men shnos liol? She has to wait till the next morning. The answer is that the Torah says that her obligation to bring the carbon is complete with malos yemei tahara, whenever she completes that malos. Malos means accounting. Malos?
No.
Okay, here's malos. Now, I have to tell you that this word malos is like a shas word. I mean, it means many, many different things in many different contexts. It's one of the most lumdish sugyas in all of Shas, but a malos. Like, Steve, were you the one who asked me yesterday about the seventh day of Avelis? Yeah, that also has to do with malos, because whenever you count a certain number, that counting takes on a new status in halachah malos, and a new dinim, like mitzvah hayom kikulo, that's a dinim malos, and so forth and so on. The classical case of mitzvah hayom kikulo would be the halach of a zava gedola. A zava gedola had three re'ios during Yemei Ziva, consecutively on three different days. She counts Zayin Nikiyim. She can actually go to mikvah on the seventh day, even before the malos is complete. And that's considered mitzvah hayom kikulo. Again, she can't have relations with her husband until the day ends, but in terms of counting the malos, it's already complete, and now she can go to mikvah. It's really fascinating. So malos is a very big parsha. I mean, you have to know, for example, in Nazirus, if you learn Masecht in Nazirus, like half of the Masecht is about malos, you know, malos yimei anazir. But here the Torah says, ube malos yimei tara. Says Beis Hillel, b'malos yimei tara means when she's completed the 80th day. And at that point, the Torah says, Tavi Keves Liola. What do you mean, Tavi Keves Liola? She can't bring the Ola until the next 12 days, but she's obligated to bring the Ola. The implementation of that obligation will only come about with daybreak of the 81st day. Do you see this, the difference here? This is what you call conceptual abstract thinking. There's the moment of obligation, when the obligation is clinched. But it doesn't mean that just because the obligation is clinched and it's total, that therefore you can implement that. You may have to wait a while until you implement that obligation.
Because you can't take it at night.
Correct, because the carbon, the base, I mean, is just closed for business at night. There's no carbon at night.
So she had the miscarriage at night of the 81st day.
Exactly, going into the 81st.
So she can't bring a carbon that night. She has to wait until daybreak the next morning.
But, says Basil, she's already obligated in that carbon. And if she's obligated in the carbon, then you cannot attach a new obligation that was engendered by this miscarriage once the first obligation was clinched. So Beishamai says something very logical. You can't tell me that she's obligated in a carbon at night. So the obligation has not yet reached its fruition. It hasn't matured yet. When is the maturity moment of this obligation to bring the carbon? So Beit Shammai says, let's postpone it until the morning, which is the earliest time that she could possibly implement that obligation. Whereas Beit Hillel talks about the theoretical obligation as a concept in abstract terms, and that obligation, the Torah says, is be malos yimei tara. So the malos yimei tara means when that malos of 80 days has completed itself, and that means with Shkia Sacham on the 80th day, says Basil at that point, then Tavi Kevis Liola. Okay, she can't bring the Ola, but she's obligated to bring the Ola. So the implementation will be postponed for 12 hours.
So how is this the interpretation of the word or?
Because if you take a look at the Brisa says, when did she have this miscarriage? And the Brisa says, I'm a pelas or l'shmona v'yechad. Again, if she had given birth on the day of Shmona v'yechad, then kuliyavolo pligi, then even Beis Shammai would agree that she has two independent obligations to bring karbonos of yoledes. When does Beit Shammai say that she can kill two birds, that she can be yotze with one carbon yoledes for both? That's only when she had a miscarriage the night going into the 81st, which means before the chiyuv carbon set in, because Beit Shammai holds, that the chiyuv carbon can only emerge with daybreak when she can fulfill that chiyuv. Beit Shammai is not interested in reading the pasuk b'mlos yimei tara. Beit Shammai is going to put all the emphasis on the next part of the pasuk that says tavi kevis ben shnaso. That's when the chiyuv is clinched. Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
One question, and possibly depending on your answer.
If you don't mind speaking a drop louder.
One question, yeah. Depending on your answer, maybe a second. Does that those korbanot, do they have to be brought dafka on the 81st day?
No.
Oh, so you can do that.
No, but you have something called balti acher.
Right. Now I'm just wondering how a woman who's nursing a 2.5 month old child and has just had a miscarriage, how right. She's going to actually bring.
Well, the truth is that she could send a shliach. She could send a shliach for a korban.
Well, I think she'd have other.
Yeah, but I don't know that she wants to send a shliach. You know, it's like benching gomel. Have you ever seen when the pregnant, the women who gave birth, you know, when they come around to the shul to bench gomel? you know, you have to wait till you're healthy. So if she wants to bring the carbon herself personally,
she can wait.
She can wait. But then there's something called Baal Tiach. But that's a whole different sugya of Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Do we give her one regal? Do we give her three regalim? You know, how much of a time do we give when anything? So what does the Gemara say now? Oh, Amru lehem beisila beit shamai. Maishna or shmona v'echad miyom shmona v'echad. You know, we never find in halacha a difference between night and day. Night and day form one indivisible unit. Now again, Rabosai, we know that that's not exactly accurate. There were cases, for example, we spoke about Tainis Tzibur, we spoke about the custom of Yisrael Halacha on Erev Pesach, but again, those are all Durabbanan. However, we do have differences between day and night as far as mitzvahs are concerned. For example, lulav can only be brought during the day, and bris milah. But for example, ktsiras ha'omer is only at night. So we have mitzvahs that apply only at night, and mitzvahs that only apply during the day. But we can certainly safely assume that unless we know otherwise, and there's some reason why, the, you know, if the Torah went out of its way to tell me otherwise, that we split the day and the night, that it's a 24-hour period. And any halacha that applies to the second half of that 24-hour period, meaning 12 hours of daylight, should apply ipso facto to the nighttime as well, because it's one entity, one unit of 24 hours.
But we know that korbanot can't be brought at night. We know that.
Okay, so we're going to see Beit Shammai. But let's just go slowly. Let's try to understand Beis Hillel. You know, Beit Shammai is going to have a very good counter argument. But let's just understand Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel has two arguments. We're focused on his first argument. His first argument is the following. Beit Shammai, you agree that if she had the miscarriage on the day of the 81, right, daytime of 81, that she would have to bring a second karma. Well, the day drags the night with it, meaning the night is part of the day. The night is the introduction to the day. It's like the night is the head and the day is the body, but you can't sever the relationship between the two. And therefore, if you're telling me that once she waited, so to speak, you know, the process of birth was of this miscarriage was delayed until the morning, she has now an obligation to bring a separate carbon, then that same halacha should apply at night as well. And that's called Maishna. So if you take a look at Rashi, which is about 15 lines down from the top of the page, Maishna or l'shmona v'echad miyom shmona v'echad, halo atem modim lanu, you don't deny, Beis Shammai, she'im lo hipila balayla v'hipila l'machar, chayevet, she has to bring a separate set of karbonos. Is therefore, afkish hipila or l'shmona v'echad tischayev, sharei l'chol davar, again, if I had a pencil that worked, I would underline this. Sharei l'chol davar. Oh, I found one. Yeah, I like to underline things in pencil. I don't know, that since my youth, I don't know, it's like a mishigasim one. And the truth is that b'shas adchak, if I don't have a pencil, I use a pen. But sharei l'chol davar zman hayom v'alayla shavim. And he's saying the following, that whenever there is special dinim that apply by day, because of the counting of that day. So when you count a day, you count the day together with the night as one entity. Again, sometimes there are dinim that apply to part of the day. For example, the Isur Chametz, if you remember, which is a Doraisa, applies from midday, from Chatzos. So we do split the day itself into two parts. However, when we're dealing with counting days, and now we're up to day 81, which means that the melos of 80 days of Yimei Tara have completed themselves. That entity is beyond behind us. And now we start counting day 81 as the beginning, the initiation of a new melos as a result of our miscarriage on day 81. Then the night and the day should have the very same halach. And therefore, Beis Hillel say to Beit Shammai, since you agree that with the emergence of day on 81, that day 81 has its own status and it's independent of the first 80 days, and it generates its own independent chiyuv karma, then therefore the night going into 81 should be part of that same entity called day 81. That's how halacha when we count days. I'll give you a Rabosai example. Amad Dover Domer, let's say in Sfiras HaOmer. In Sfiras HaOmer, if you can count a certain day at night, then you can count it by day as well. Again, there's a sheet of the Bahag not like that, but again, most Rishonim would say that we take the day as a unit that has 24 hours to it, and that day has to be counted. So whether you know, the best thing would be if you counted at night, because you want to get the whole day counted. But if you get in a fallback position, you can count it during the day. Again, that's because of the Bahag Shita, but I was just giving you a conceptual example of counting a day. When you count a day, and that day is significant in and of itself on the calendar, again, the calendar might not be your calendar or my calendar, it's her calendar, but on her calendar, day 81 is marked off as a new chiyuv of Yoledes. And if you're marking off day 81, says Beis Hillel, you're going to include the night as well. The Ode. Again, it doesn't say V'od in the Gemara, but we can add the word V'od because now the Gemara offers in the name of Beis Hillel another argument to support Beis Hillel and counter Beit Shammai. In Shiva lo lituma, lo yishva lo lekarbon, this is a rhetorical question. Beis Hillel says the following. You know what? What would happen if she saw Dam on the night of the 81st? Would she be Tmeo or Tahora? Tmeo, there's no question about it, because the Yimei Tara have already completed themselves. So Beis Hillel now postulates the following analogy. To the same extent that the night of the 81st is considered a brand new Malos, as far as Tuma Vitara is concerned, because had she seen that Dam during the 80th day, let's say a minute before Shkia, she would be Tahora, but since she saw it a minute after Shkia, or maybe after Tzeis, again, I'm not going into that question, she's now Tmeya. Oh, you see clearly that as far as Tuma is concerned, the Dam has a new status. Her status has changed. She's no longer in the Tahara mode. She's now in the Tuma mode. Then as far as Carbon is concerned, she's in a new mode as well. She sheds behind her the old Leda with its Chi of Carbon, and now she picks up a brand new Leda with a brand new Chi of Carbon. Now, in order to defend Beit Shammai, and this is a subject of the Gemara in Krisus, you know, this whole Gemara that we're learning here is a grafted Gemara, you'll see in the Mesor Sashas on the top, from Krisus Dav Zayin. And if we had like tons of time here, I would take out my notes from Krisus. You know, there was one summer, I used to go 5 summers to Boston, and one summer I became the official note taker in Boston. My notes are circulated around. Rav Ari in the Gush took my notes, and he had other versions of other people who wrote notes, but I that was the one summer that I rewrote my notes, that we were learning Krisus, or as Rav Lichtenstein would call it, Krasos. Okay. So in that Masechta, the Gemara suggests a counter-argument to defend Beit Shammai. I'll read to you a small piece of the Gemara there. Beit Shammai says the following. With regard to the first argument of Beis Hillel, Yesh lechalek ben yom v'layla. What did Beis Hillel argue in the first argument? We should take the day as a whole, as a complete entity. No, says Beit Shammai, no, we're going to split between the day and the night. Sharei, biyom, and I think, Michael, this is more or less what you were saying before, biyom via karvan, ubalayla lo. So how can you tell me that we take the entire day as one indivisible unit and accuse Beit Shammai of being inconsistent, because Beit Shammai says if she gave birth on the 80th day during the daylight hours, she has to bring a separate karbon, but not if she had this miscarriage on the night going into the 81st day. The answer is, there's a very clear-cut distinction here that the Torah itself makes between the night and the day. And that is that on the nighttime there's no karvon, and in the daytime there is karvon. So how can you possibly argue that at night she now has emerged into a new independent karvon? She's not in an independent karvon because there is no karvon at night. And now what about Beis Hillel's second argument that since if she saw Dam on the night going into the 81st day, she's Tmeya. You see that she's left behind the sheds the trappings of the original Malos from the first Leda. Hey Shivu, Beit Shammai answered this argument by saying, Ein din tumah v'karbon shavim. You cannot equate the law of tumah with the law of karma. Sharei im Yoledes lifnei malos damesh aledet meyu. Bim kol ze eino chayevus karba bifnei atzma. I can prove to you, says Beit Shammai, that the laws of Tumah, as far as this dam, the status of the dam, and the laws of karma, are two different sets of laws. Because, let's say, for example, she would have had a leda before she completed the counting of 80, right? In your letters, lifnei malos knows. So now, she has, let's say she sees dam. We're both saying, here's the case. Imagine if she has a miscarriage on the 80th day in the morning, right? Let's say I'll dramatize it. In the morning of the 80th, she has a leda. Okay? Kuliabalo pligi, everybody agrees, and Basil can't deny this, that she only needs one set of karbanos, right? Because the day of the 80th. I'm not pellets. Oh, so now, right? Now what happens? She sees dam. So again, she had this hapala in the morning of the 80th, and then an hour later she sees dam. What's her status? No, she's tmeya. Why is she tmeya? Because now she has a new leda.
Right.
And for the next, again, this is complicated because I don't know if it's going to be 7 days or 14 days. That's complicated. That's not for us now. Don't hit me with that. But for one period of time now, she is going to be tmeya. Even though she's not chayevus karbon. So we already have this paradox here. We differentiate between dam and karbon, because as far as dam is concerned, she's in a new period of time, and her dam is dam tmeya by virtue of this leda, even though she only brings one karbon, and that leda does not emerge as an independent machayev of karbon. So Beit Shammai says to Basil, you see clearly that there's a difference between dam and the status of tumah and karbon. These are two different dinim. And this is all a synopsis of a sugya in Krisus, you know, just touching on the surface. You know, Rabbi Osei, somebody came over to me yesterday, I just want to tell you a story. And he said something to me that is so foreign to me. And if anybody here can tell me where he was coming from, I mean, I tried to knock this notion out of his brain, but I don't think I was successful. So if he doesn't show up to my 11:45 shiur today, I'll know why. Because he didn't like my answer. He says to me, why are we had a shiur yesterday at 11:45 on the sugya of Kavsa Zakukla. So he came over to me after Mincha, a very fine gentleman that I love, I adore, and he says to me, Rabbi Brosser, why are you giving a whole shiur with pilpulim and iyunim on the subject of kavsa zokiklo? We paskin kavsa ein zokiklo. So I said to him, so what? What does that have to do with it? It's Torah yivalilma nitzara. So he says to me, what about Beit Shammai? Are you going to give a shiur on Beit Shammai? He says to me, bezel losh. He says, when the Gemara gets to Beit Shammai, it just dismisses Beit Shammai, because we paskin like this. So I said to him, can you show me such a Gemara? Again, I'm not a Bucky and Shas. I'm not a Daf Yomi man. You know, I covered maybe two Masechta. I made a Siyum twice in my life. Once on Masechta Makis and once on Masechta Zvachim. On Masechta Shabbos, they asked me to say the Siyum. But don't think for 1 minute I knew a word of Masechta Shabbos. But I said to him, where in Shas does it say that we pay less attention to Beit Shammai than we do to Beit Sila? I never heard such a thing. Again, the Gemara says that Mishnosu Shal Beit Shammai, Mishnosu Shal Beit Sila, ain't no Mishnah, meaning you can't pass like Beit Shammai. That's only a normative Allah, but that has nothing to do with learning Torah. So I don't know. Where does he? So I said to him, okay, I was a little harsh when I said to him, Rav Yid, come back and show me such a sugya. And again, if he was here now in front of me, I would tell him to take a look at increases on Daf Zion, and you'll see that the Gemara spends a whole hour trying to understand Beit Shammai. And the truth is, again, this is my own comment, after you finish the Gemara, you think that Beit Shammai is right and Basil is wrong. In other words, we're going to have to go back and try to... Well, yesterday we had a whole sugi about Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov versus Rabbi Yehuda. Back and forth, whether the Iser Malacha that we accepted upon ourselves on Erev Pesach as a custom emerges with Amud HaShachar or with HaNetzachama. And the Gemara goes back and forth. So you'll tell me, but we passed like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So what? That's very nice if you're learning Mishnah Berurah. But it has nothing to do with learning Shas. We have a principle called Elu V'Elu Divili Kim Chayim. Now, there may be such a thing. Sometimes the Gemara says the word mishabeshta, which means that we had an incorrect version of a text. You know, there was a mistake in the transmission. Or perhaps you might have cases that are very rare where somebody makes a historical comment and the Gemara says it can't be, you know, so throw it out. You know, in that case, you know, I could hear that we're gonna dismiss it, and we're not gonna spend too much time saying shiurim if they're based on a mistake. But other than that, it's elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. In any event, the final maskana of our sugya is midika omar beis hillel beit shammai maishna or shmona v'echad miyom shmona v'echad. What's the difference between the night going into the 81st day when she had a miscarriage or when she had a miscarriage on the day of the 81st day? Shmamino, we see or urtahu shmamino. I think it's the fourth proof. I have to go back and count them up. Where that the word or means life.
Which is nothing whatsoever to do with actually the dispute between Hillel and Shammai.
Garnished. That's what I'm telling you. I'm plotting to get to Daf Dalet. Because the Masechta really starts at Daf Dalet. What we're learning now is not really Pesachim. And if you hang on, you're going to see that this entire Daf Gimel that we started today has nothing to do with Masechta Pesachim. And Daf Gimel on Beis has nothing to do with Masechta Pesachim. The Gemara is going to go through various Pesukim and count extra letters. Instead of saying Tameh, it says Asher Lo Tahar. How many letters were extra here, you know? And the answer is that Al Yotzi Dara Maguna Mipiv. We're going to have a whole sugi about how a person should speak. And we're going to derive it from the Bible. Gomit Satan Mit Psoch. Here we start Masechta Psoch Madav Dal. So I'm very eager to get to Daf Dal. But, you know, there's some interesting things that we learned here about your letters. Meisvei. Okay. Now we're learning real Kachin. Okay, who likes to learn kachim? Raise your hand. Nobody? Okay. This is light kachim, not heavy kachim. I mean, heavy kachim, we'd be stuck for a month.
The kachim kalim.
Yeah, this is kachim kalim, right? And it is kachim kalim, because shlomim is kachim kalim. So the Torah says about shlomim that you're allowed to eat shlomim for what's called 2 days and one night. So let's say, for example, today, the karbon, the kohen brings the karbon shlomim. So you're allowed to eat the meat of the korban during the course of the day, going into the night, and the next day. That's Shnei Yomim V'Laila Achas. Now the Gemara wants to analyze, what about the second Laila? The Laila after day two. Because generally speaking, we have a rule in Kodshim that Laila Holech Achar Hayom. Even though in Kol HaTorah Kula, the universal principle is just the opposite, the Yom Holech Achar Laila, that the kickoff of a unit of a day is the nighttime. The exception to the rule is Kodshim, where the night is dragged on as a nachshleper to the day. So let's look at this price. Yachol, says the Braisa, I might think, if not for a special Yalfus, a special pasuk. Yehi nechal, in the case of shlomim, it should be eaten or lishlishi, that means the night after day two. So let's say, for example, Rabosai, today the korban shlomim was brought. Even tomorrow night we should be able to eat the shlomim. That's called or lishlishi. So Rabosai, what does the word or clearly mean?
Night.
The night. Again, this is going to be, I think, proof number five, that or means laila. Vidinu. And I'll tell you why, says the Braisa, that logically I would be inclined to assume so. This is a rule in general in Kodshim. Zvachim, when it comes to Kodshim, let's say Korban Toda, for example, would be an outstanding example. Necholim liyom echad. And that, because the Torah says, in Vayikra Perek Zayin, it says, biyom karbono ye ochel. And that halacha includes the night after the day. Do you follow what I mean? So let's say he or she brings a korban toda today, that korban toda can be eaten for the balance of the day and the night. It only becomes nosar and prohibited with daybreak of day two. So the night is always attached to the day. Shlomim necholim l'shnei yomim, the Torah says, with regard to shlomim, in that same chapter in Vayikra Zayin, it says, b'yom ziv chachem. No, I'm sorry, it's not in the same chapter. This you have to fast forward to chapter 9. But it's in the same sefer of Vayikra. You have to fast forward to chapter 19. I meant to say, if I said 9, I correct myself. And there it says, "Biyom ziv chachem ye ochel umi machras." So the word umi machras gives you a second day for eating shlamim. Malahal, and just like in the case of carbon todo or any other carbon, laila acharayom, we attach the night to the earlier day, and you're allowed to eat the carbon even during the night that follows the day of Khan. Here too, where the Torah gave you a second day in the case of shlomim is laila acharayom, then the night after the second day, which would be tomorrow night if you follow me, that's orla shlishi. Also, we should be allowed to eat the carbon. Tabaloma, we need a special pasuk, and what does the pasuk say? Biyom ziv chachem. And then it says Vanosar ad yom. What is this Vanosar ad yom? A very strange phrase here. The leftovers ad yom. What is ad yom? So the drush of the Chachamim on this right. Ad yom, right? We'll see. The Gemara now stops with the words ad yom to tell you that we can derive a halach of ad yom, meaning the termination is yom. The last, you know, it says biyom ziv chachem yeochel umi machras, but then it adds ad yom. Ad yom means mibo od yomu nechal v'enu nechal liar shlishi. It means that it can only be eaten ad yom, meaning until the termination of day two, but not beyond the termination of day two. So the night going into day three is prohibited, and that's based on the extra words ad yom. Yachal, I might think, yisaref miyad, that if the latest time to eat the bus of the shlomim is tomorrow with nightfall, then if there's any meat of the carbon that's left over beyond nightfall, yisaref miyad, there should be a mitzvah of nosar, because nosar always comes into being after the termination of the achila, the zman of achila. Vidinu, and the Gemara says it would be logical now to assume that if the latest time to eat the carbon shlomim is day two, but not the night after day two going into day three, that at that moment in time it becomes nosar, and therefore you should have a mitzvah burning. The Torah says nosar mabokat ba'esh tisrofu. And vidinu, I'll give you a logical, compelling reason for this. Zvachim necholim liyom v'layla echa. The Torah says with regard to other korbanos, let's say todah, we gave the example, it can be eaten for one day and the night that follows. And the same thing applies to shlom, except that we give them the second day. Shlom nechol l'shnei yom v'layla echon malahal, just like in other korbanos, with daybreak after the first day, meaning you have the day today and the night that follows. That's tonight. Tomorrow morning, tekev lit. Now here you have to add two words: lit sof achila. You know, it's when the time for achila terminates sreifa. So that means on with daybreak of day two in the classical carbon that's eaten for a day and a night, it becomes nosar, and therefore requires sreifa. Afkan, we should say the same thing here, that when the time for eating terminates, right, tekef l'achila means immediately after the sof zman, the termination of the time for eating sreifa, we should burn a talmud. Lomar v'nosar mipsar hazevach biyom hashlishi b'esh tisarev. So there are two dinim over here. There's one din as to when the time for eating it terminates, and the time for eating terminates with nightfall going into the third day. But at that point, it's not yet nosar. When has become nosar for sreifa? Yeah. Only with the emergence of yom hashlishi by yom hatatzoreif yatatzor from alayla. Now we get back to the beginning of the brisa to make our point. Me the comer, since the brisa starts by saying yehi nechal or lishlishi, the havamina before this drush of od ba'od yom was that you can eat the carbon shlomim or lishlishi. What does or lishlishi mean? The night going into the third day is Alma or Urta Hushmami. No, this is the sixth proof. Rabbosai, this Gemara that we just learned, this is on the side, reminds me of Rabbi Lozer ben Azaria in Karban Pesach. Does anybody know when is the latest time on the night of the 15th of Nisan that according to Rabbi Lozer ben Azaria you're allowed to eat the Karban Pesach? Anybody remember that? I don't know about a three-way machlokas. I know of a two-way machlokas. So that's the Chacham seem to allow you to eat it throughout the night. And what about Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria? When's the latest time you can eat it? And this is Doraisa Allah. Chatzos, right? Midnight. That's the time when they left, when And they didn't leave yet till the daytime, but when they were freed as slaves, that's the latest time to eat the carbon pass. But no, sir, it doesn't become until daybreak. So you see that this, the two dinim, this one din is the termination of achila, the zman achila terminates, but it doesn't automatically immediately become no, sir. There may be a delay reaction in which it becomes no, sir, later on, David.
When the Gemara proved one time that worm is not, why do we have to have six proofs?
Excellent question.
Maybe it's not really a good proof so far, and all these proofs, are they not really good proofs?
No? Excellent question. David, you'll have to hold on to your question a little bit of time, right. But it's an excellent question. Right. Toshma! Okay, what number are we up to now?
Seven,
I think we're up to. All right, I don't know. Or shall Yom HaKippurim? This is very interesting. We're talking about the seven brachos that make up a Shmoneh Esrei on Yom Kippur. Okay? Now, how many tefillos are there on Yom Kippur? Starting with the night.
Five.
Yom Kippur is a very unique day. There's also something similar with regard to a Tainis Tzibur, but it still doesn't reach the number five, because a Tainis Tzibur has Ne'ilah, but it doesn't have Musaf. So here we have a combination on Yom Kippur, both Ne'ilah and Musaf, which rounds out at five. So now we have seven brachos. Now keep in mind that the middle bracha, which is called Kedushas Hayom, is a very long bracha. It goes through many different dimensions, especially in the case of Musaf. It's extremely long. When we get to Mincha time, which is already, let's say, Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, that we're up to number four. And Yehuda, I don't know if you can turn off something there, if you don't mind. So when we get to Mincha time, you're going to have to accept this as Gzeiras HaKosuv, what I'm about to say. We're exhausted. Can you relate to that? You know, they say about the Belzer Rebbe that even before Mincha, he would walk around the shul in bells, look you in the face, and decide whether you had to eat or not on Yom Kippur, just by looking at your face. True story about the Belzer Rebbe. So we're all quite exhausted Mincha time. So again, I don't want to be a conservative Jew here, but there's one tefillah that I'd love to have an abridged version of, and that's Mincha on Yom HaKippur, because I just don't have the koyach to go through Mincha, right? I'm exhausted. So this brisa says the following. It records a machlokas about tefillas Mincha on Yom HaKippur, at the end of Yom Kippur. Or shall Yom HaKippurim Ma'ariv going into Yom HaKippur mispalel sheva umisvada. There's going to be a long vidui that's incorporated into the framework of tefillah, into the template of tefillah. Shachar is the same, mispal sheva misvada. Vidui is incorporated into the template of shachar. The same applies to musaf, mispal sheva misvada. But mincha, what happens with mincha? Mispal sheva umisvada. According to Tanakhama, we're not going to have any leniencies for mincha. Be arvis, when we get to our Now here's something that even the Tanakhama can accept. We're up to Ma'ariv. We're absolutely exhausted.
Where's
Ne'ilah? Ne'ilah, I don't think anyone wants to shorten, because Ne'ilah is a very important tefillah, and it's a standard tefillah for any Tainis Tzibur. Again, we don't have that now in Minig, but okay. Now he's up to Ma'ariv on both sides. When you're up to Ma'ariv on Motzei Yom Kippur, you're ice mensch. That's it. So therefore, the Tanakhama says, Mispalel Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei, an abridged form of Shmoneh Esrei, which is called a Tefillah Ktsara, which means we take the middle bracha. I should say this: we take the 13 middle brachos of a classical Shmoneh Esrei, and we condense them into one single bracha. That's called a Tefillah Ktsara. And hopefully, we're finished with Ma'ariv. Chick chak, as the Israelis say. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Mishum Avosov, he quotes his forefathers, Mispalel Shmoneh Esrei Shlemos, we're not going to be lean. So I correct myself what I told you before. I thought we were talking about Mincha. I made a mistake. Everybody agrees that Mincha is Mincha, and it's identical to all the other tefillahs that we mentioned. However, with regard to Ma'ariv after Yom Kippur, here the Chachamim insist on what's called a tefillah k'tzar me'ein shmoneh esrei, and Rav Chanina says, no, we got to go the whole 9 yards. And we have to daven the entire shmoneh esrei shleimus. We're not going to institute a whole new enterprise of tefillah k'tzar. Mipnei shetzarech lomar avdola b'chonin atas. Don't think for a moment that Rav Chanina ben Gamliel is so cruel and so insensitive that he wants to insist on the whole kitchen sink with all the 13 brachos and tzayos. No, that's not really what motivates him. He would also like to be lenient. But once the Chachamim made a takana of Havdolah Bechonin Adas, you remember that there are two Havdolahs. There's one Havdolah that we make Alakos, and then there was a separate takana to incorporate Havdolah into Atachonin. And the only way you could do that is if you daven the entire Shmoneh Esrei. You can't have Havdolah integrated into a Tefillah Ketzara, which has so many different... Because everything that you integrate has to be Me'ein HaBracha, and it has to have the same theme. So if you have a multi-themed Bracha, which in the case of the Chacham for Meir of Motzi Yom Kippur is multi-themed, there's no room to inject Havdolah. But if you have 13 separate brachos, right, and one of which, the first of which is Chonein Das, that's where we can integrate Avdolah. Alma, what do we see? That Or Urtahu. That Or, again, because that's the first tefillah on the list, is Mayriv. So Mispalel Sheva, when it says Or Shal Yom HaKippur, Mispalel Sheva, Misfadah, that's talking about Laila, Shmam, you know, that's the seventh proof. Toshma, here's number 8. Titani, Rabbi Shmuel has a brisa that he had a tradition of a brisa. Lele Arbosar, Bokim as a chametz liar ner. On the night of Arbosar, we check the chametz, Alma or Urta. Ella, and this is the punchline of the entire sugi that we've been doing. Bein Rav Huna, Bein Rav Yehuda. We've been assuming that there's a machlokus between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, but really, in truth, there is no machlokus. Kuli Alma or Urtahu. David, we finally, after 8 proofs, have convinced ourselves that Or means night, and it can't be that Rav Huna would delay Bedikas Chometz until the day of the 8th of the 14th. Velo Pligi, there was never a machlokus. It's all a question of terminology. It's all a question of linguistic communication skills. Marki Asrei, Marki Asrei, there were different traditions in different locations as to how and what word you would use for Laila. Marki, Biasrei de Rav Huna, paradoxically, what they did was, when they referred to Laila, they called it Nage. What does Nage mean? Daytime. But he's using the word daytime because in his community the word day was used, Nagi was used for Lilo. So the Gemara now is going to embark upon a whole study. So why did they confuse us in the places of Rav Huna and use the word Nagi, which means the light of day, to refer to Lilo? And that's going to lead us to the sugi of tomorrow of Li'olam Al Yotzi Adam Dover Meguna Mipiv. We don't like to speak about night and call it night, because night is kind of depressing and it's darkness. So instead we use what's called a euphemism in English, right? And that's called in the Lashon Kodesh a Lashon Saginar. Someone who's dark in his eyes, we call him light, as if he sees, but he really doesn't see. And that's going to be the principle of how to speak. So from now until we finally learn Pesach and Adav Dalet, we're going to have a whole sugi about how we have to speak. Okay then, Rabbosai? We'll stop here. Okay. It's good.
Okay. You know where the expression, the whole 9 yards, comes from?
I thought it was from football, but maybe not.
Football. There are 10 yards of football.
From clock, reading clock.
Yeah, World War I. You got 9 yards of bullets. They shoot the whole 9 yards.
Well, that's how many bullets they had.
They had 9 yards worth of bullets. They shoot the whole 9 yards.
Well, God, you saved me the hassle of going on to Google. Because all my knowledge in life today comes from Google. You know, if I don't know anything, I just go on to Google. Right? Dr. G.